are dreams just random images fired from an unconscious brain during sleep? Or something much more important, like life-saving inner guidance? How dreams can be healing and early warning tools for disease, financial crisis, or success? And love is still one of the behavioral science's greatest unanswered questions. Hello, I'm your host, author Kat O'Keefe Canavis. Welcome to Dreaming Healing, where dreams and cutting-edge scientific research meet on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Dreaming Healing is every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, when you can call in and ask Kat questions about your amazing dreams. Talk on air. Call toll-free 833-220-1200. That's 833-220-1200. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Good evening, everyone. I am so glad you're here. This show is live video. So if you're only listening and you want to watch, go to my website. You can Google The Queen of Dreams, or you can go to Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, and that's K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N O-K-E-E-F-E K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or you can go to my Facebook page live for live video, and that's Kat Cannabis Author Speaker. And you can watch us right there. If you go to my website, if you look down in the left-hand corner of the top of the page, you'll see Dream Vision 7 Radio. Just click that and it will take you right to the video podcast. You'll see the website, my website, and just scroll down and you'll see today's show and YouTube. Click on YouTube and you can watch us. So if you missed any of the last shows, you can Google Dreaming Healing Show with Kat Cannabis from our archives on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, or from my website again, Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis, or you can Google The Queen of Dreams and see all the other shows, watch them, or just listen to them on my Dreaming Healing website. So after working from home during the COVID epidemic, workers have switched hats and become entrepreneurs. So how do successful business people balance both home and their business success? How do they make them work, especially when they have been locked up together for such a long time? But most importantly, how do those successful people make it look so easy? You decide as our guest tonight, Frank Zakari, answers these questions with really real true stories that he's got in his book. We're going to be talking about that during the show. And we're going to learn to overcome challenges for success that are facing so many entrepreneurs worldwide today, as they try to get back into either the business before they had before the shutdown, or a new business because that business didn't survive. But one of the things that Frank talks about throughout this book, and we're going to talk about, is communication. Communication is so important. So what does fine really mean? Well, first, before we get into that, we are going to do our favorite protection meditation and clearing. So what I want you to do, if you're brand new and you've never done this with me before, what we're going to do is take three deep breaths in. We're going to hold them. We're going to allow any negativity that may have built up during the week or forever, as long as you've had it. But most of my audience does this every week, so we get rid of it all. But if you're new, you're going to have a lot to get rid of. We're going to blow that breath of life out across the room and into the flame of Saint Germain. And we're going to do that three times. And then we're going to take a power gift, any gift that you think is powerful to you. In other words, it could be a piece of jewelry your parents gave you or a loved one gave you, or it could be your favorite flower. or it could be your favorite crystal. Anything that holds the power of love for you is a power gift. And we're going to create a mirrored bubble around ourselves that will only allow that which is of the highest and best to come in, okay? So what I want you to do right now is just kind of settle in to your chair. Feel yourself becoming grounded and quiet. Right? Sit comfortably and close your eyes. If you're driving right now and you're listening to us in your car, please don't close your eyes. Keep your eyes open. It will still work. It really will, okay? So if you're just listening or you're watching us, close your eyes, feel yourself settling into your chair, feeling yourself getting a little bit heavier, and take a deep breath in. Fill your lungs up. Imagine any negativity going into that breath of life and blow it out all the way across the room into the purple flame of Saint Germain. Again, deep breath in. Hold it. Imagine little specks of negativity like pepper going into that breath. Blow it out. One more time. Deep breath in. As deep as you can, fill your lungs up on the bottom. Bring that air all the way in. Hold it as long as you can. Any negativity, something you said to someone, something they said to you, something you did or felt, blow it out across the room, right into the flame, purple flame of Saint Germain, and watch it be converted into beautiful golden light, returning to the universe. Okay, now I want you to imagine your power gift in your hand, and I want you to swing it around your body. Create a mirrored bubble. You can even fill that bubble with golden light. That mirrored bubble protects you from any negativity. Only that which is of the highest and best and brought by your spirit guides may come into that bubble. We wish it so, and therefore it is. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes and feel yourself just feeling really good. And the reason we take that negativity and we throw it into the purple flame of Saint Germain and turn it into beautiful golden light is so that we don't litter the universe. Yes, we're very on top of litter. We're not going to do that. So, CEO and Senior VP of 7 mid-size and Fortune 50 companies, speaker, author, business advisor, Roku TV show host, Frank Zaccari is with us tonight. And he is a best-selling author who has written 6 books based on life-altering events and business secrets for walking on water. His latest book is the first of 3 books in a series, in a business series. He's an accomplished speaker, and Frank teaches aspiring entrepreneurs at Arizona State University. He's a mentor with the Veterans Treatment Court and a mentor and judge with the University of California Entrepreneurship Academy. His international Voice America radio show, Life Altering Events, recently moved to Roku TV, and he has 220 listeners in 42 countries. Frank's wisdom is based on his personal success, not on some new, fail-proof hypothesis or some in-depth book learning based on feel-good ideas rather than real life experiences. The personal experiences in his book makes business secrets so magical and vital to any entrepreneur, business, employee, and manager, especially those who are making a move in their business life after COVID. You can learn more about Frank at www.frank.com. Zakari.com, and that's Frank, F-R-A-N-K, Zakari, Z-A-C-C-A-R-I.com. You can also read more about Frank on my Dreaming Healing website on DreamVision7Radio.com. Just go there, and I've got all of Frank's information there. So welcome to the show, Frank Zakari.
Thank you, Kat. It's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Frank. You were on the show with me last time when we were doing a really fantastic business panel. We got a lot of great feedback from that. So I was really excited to just have you and your book all to myself. I don't have to share you with anyone.
Well, good. So,
Frank, let me ask you first. What prompted you to write Business Secrets for Walking on Water?
Well, it came about, it's like a 35-year overnight success. I had been in the business world for approximately 35 years as a CEO or senior executive or business owner. And during that course, during that time, there's been some successes and there's some failures. And one of the things I wanted to get across was what makes organizations, what sinks most organizations is they don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. And they either aren't able or they're not willing to bring in people who can fill in the holes in their organization. So most entrepreneurs have got a good idea. They have one really good thing they can do. And they figure, I'm going to go out and I'm going to change the world. And they try to juggle 20 balls and they all hit the ground. And then all of a sudden, 3 to 5 years later, they're out of business. And that's what the statistics say. 50 to 60% of small businesses fail in 3 to 5 years. And 80% fail within five. So I knock on wood, was very fortunate that that didn't happen in my organizations. Mm-hmm. And so as we were met with the Biz Catalyst people through your introduction and started talking to people like yourself and Dennis and Mark O'Brien, all of a sudden it was this, hey, I can do this. Why don't you write this book, Frank? You've been down this path before. You know how to do it. And let's just put it out there so that people don't step on some of the landmines or they know where to walk. That's the key thing. The secret to walking on water is simply know where the rocks are. Mm-hmm. And so I want to show people, here are the rocks.
Right. Yes. And so what you were talking about was actually in chapter 3 of your mm-hmm. book, Do You Know What You Don't Know? And, you know, I've seen so many businesses, Frank, because my husband is a businessman, and I have seen him deal with other business and people and entrepreneurs who were great in a business that they had. They were fantastic in that business. And then they would switch into real estate where they knew absolutely nothing about real estate. But they thought that because they did so well in a previous business, they could automatically do well in real estate. And they didn't realize, they didn't know what they didn't know. And that's where it's so important what you said about, you know, leaning on other people who do know what they know, and they do know what you don't know, in order to make your business successful. So tell us a little bit about your business expertise, though. It's quite impressive.
Well, where I came from, I grew up in Western New York, outside of Buffalo, in a steel town. And my biggest fear in my life was I was going to be working in steel my entire life. So I had to get out. I was a pretty fair baseball player. I thought that might have been the way. I wanted to play shortstop for the Yankees. And at 17, I had a major league scout tell me, son, you need to learn how to study, which was a nice way to say, you're not going to make it, my friend. So I went to school, got accepted at Cornell after 2 years at a junior college, which was the highlight of my life at that point. And then the military lottery came along and I was lottery number 10. So it was, that's it, you're done. Either go in the Army and more than likely go to Vietnam, or enlist in the Air Force and you can enlist in a job. So I enlisted as a medic in the Air Force. And the reason being is Air Force medics stay where the airplanes are, and the airplanes are 100 miles from the front. That's where the hospital is. So I figured my chances of me getting shot at were pretty slim. Well, what I learned in the military, because you're very young, 19, 20 years old, you know, you have a lot of responsibility all of a sudden. So what I learned in the military was, even though there's so many rules and so much bureaucracy, you can still get things accomplished. You just have to find ways to maneuver around the system or within the system. Okay, there's always ways to make it happen. Ever watch MASH and you watch Radar? Well, Radar could do anything because he knew how to work within the system. So the military, I learned a tremendous amount. I got management skills at 19, 20, 21 years old, and I was managing people, and we were winning awards and all that stuff. I didn't want to stay in the military, so I got out and finished school, and I wanted to trade money. My degree is in finance, okay, and I wanted to trade money, and I wanted to work for the Bank of America in San Francisco in the trading room. That's what I wanted to do. So I did a paper on a lobbyist for Bank of America because I was going to school in Sacramento with the state capital. And I told him, I have an ulterior motive here. You know, I want to do this paper on you, but I also want you to get me an interview in the trading room, which he did. He did. So I go to San Francisco. They offer me the job. This is a long time ago. And their starting pay was going to be $10,000, which means you're not going to live anywhere near San Francisco for $10,000, even in the 1970s. That wasn't going to happen. So I come back, and NCR, the computer company, came on campus, and so I didn't even know who they were because there was no Google then. So I went, met with them, and they said, well, we want you to get into high-tech sales, and we're going to pay you $14,000 a year, and you don't have to move because I was living in Sacramento. So I'm a finance major, and I said, well, I can figure that out. $10,000, move to San Francisco, $14,000, don't have to move. So I went into the tech world. And I figured, okay, I need to know something about technology. I'll do it for 2-3 years, and then I'll go back into finance. Well, Kat, 27 years later, I was still in high tech, and I was the CEO of two companies up in state of Washington, Seattle. And during that journey, that tech journey was really interesting because it was the same type of thing as the military. How do I put big projects together? Okay, because I was director of government operations for a while. Okay, well, you're doing these big governmental bids, and we don't have all the resources to do the job. So who am I going to have as a programmer? Who's going to be a prime contractor? And so I had to have these alliances and go out and meet people who knew what I didn't know and had what I didn't have to try and put solutions together. And we did very well. So we did extremely well putting those things together with NCR, who was then bought by AT&T. Well, this is a story that makes everybody laugh, including me. When I was at NCR, I was director of government. Okay. And in high tech, everything's an acronym. So I was director of government, DOG, right? Oh. AT&T comes in, buys NCR, meets with me and says, okay, Frank, you're going to be government operation director. And I said, okay, fine.
From a dog to a god.
Exactly. So I told him, may want to change the name. And this guy from AT&T says, gee, Frank, you've been with us for 25 seconds and you want to make changes already? So I wrote it down, DOGGOD. So he burst out laughing. He says, I don't really care what you put on your door. So my door, my office said, Frank Zaccari, God. So it was hysterical. My staff would say, well, have you run this past God yet? And all these types of things. But one of the things we tried to do in the tech world was put tiger teams together. Okay, again,
what's a tiger team?
A tiger team is a group of people who specialize. You can't know everything. So if you're in the government sector and you're dealing with the Department of Motor Vehicles, you're dealing with the Medicare, or you're dealing with transportation, it's all different. They're all different set of skills. And so what I would do is I'd have people in the different states. They were like the bird dogs. You go find an opportunity, you identify it, get the bird in the air. And then once you get the bird in the air, then I will bring a team of specialists in. That was the tiger team. And the tiger team would come in and they either knew transportation or they knew taxation or they knew whatever it was we were bidding on. So we went in from a position of strength. We knew what we were talking about. When you sit down and talk with the people, you're not saying, okay, well, what are you trying to do? We knew what they were trying to do, and we had done it in other states. So we could say, well, here's something that worked in Utah. Here's something that worked in San Francisco. Here's something that worked in this area. So the Tiger team moved around based on the opportunity. And again, had great success. It was a lot of fun to do that, is pulling the strings together and getting different people to fit together. So it came back to
success is fun. You know, failure is not fun.
No, failure is no fun.
Success is fun. And so in a way, Frank, this Tiger team that you put together, people who knew exactly what they were doing, they had that skill set, they knew what they knew. Exactly. They were kind of your stones beneath the water.
Absolutely.
They helped you walk on that water.
They absolutely were. And the beauty of it, Kat, was there were technical people, there were salespeople, there were programmers, and they had all different kinds of skill sets. And they were all very, very different. And the key was I had to show value. I had to tell them, here's what we're trying to do. And here's the value that we're going to have by putting this together, because I couldn't write any code, I couldn't do any of that stuff. Okay, so they could hold me hostage if I was basically a jerk. And this is what happens to a lot of businesses: is you get a CEO or a leader or whoever, and they pound the desk and they yell, and this is the way we're going to do things, and it's my way. Well, you're not going to succeed. And this was in the 70s. You're not going to succeed. So let's collaborate. Let's put together and have these brainstorm sessions that we'd have together. In the technical programming team would be talking to the hardware people, who were talking to the people doing the installs. And then they would put together the plan, right? And then they would cross-train each other so that they could fill in if somebody didn't happen to be there. And again, I didn't tell them to do this. I just created the environment and said, If we work together, we can be tremendously successful, because very few people are doing this. And so we had a great deal of fun. It was just wonderful to do. AT&T, after the merger, AT&T was becoming AT&T, and I said, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. And I left and went to a company that did software for the AT&T NCR.
Okay, right there, Frank. When we come back, let's pick up right there, because we have to go to a break. And before we do that, though, Rachel, our producer, sent me a little message telling me that I made a mistake in your followers, that you actually have 220,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Countries.
That's right, 220,000.
Corrected. That's just amazing. And I want our audience to know that there are a lot of people working right now behind the scenes with this show. We have Rachel, our producer. We also have Deborah Bouvet, who is working a lot of the technology. She's watching everything right now. And Teresa Velarde is working my Facebook page. So, you know, we've got our own team happening right here, Frank. And I don't know what Deborah knows, and I would never try to touch what Rachel's doing. So don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dreaming Healing, watching Dreaming Healing on DreamVision7Radio.com.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Canavis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide, and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
How did life start on Earth, and why is there so much suffering? Are we living in a simulated reality like the characters in the Matrix movie? Do parallel dimensions exist alongside ours, influencing our experience? What are the mysterious dark energies that penetrate our universe? Peter Canova, Full Space and Time, to bring the twin bookends of ancient wisdom and quantum science into a single focal point, answering these and many other deep mysteries of the creation. Quantum Spirituality can be heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern and 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. See the show where past and present merge to show us our future.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canovas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Canovas. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCanovas.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to happy. Sacred stories of transformational joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Canovas. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to and watching Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. And I'm your host, Kat Canovas. We have Frank Zaccari with us tonight, and he's talking about some of the business secrets for walking on water, which is the name of his brand new book. And so, Frank, we were talking about communication and what's going on right now in the business world after COVID. And I just, you know, the teaser for the show, I was talking about, you know, when you hear somebody say something's just fine, chances are it's not. And you have a whole chapter in your book, chapter 21, and it's called Dialogue Requires Deep Listening. And so when somebody tells you something is just fine, I want to tell you what Frank says. Fine is the word women use at the end of any argument when they feel they are right, but can't stand to hear you argue any longer. It means that you should shut up. Never use fine to describe how she looks. This will cause you to have one of those arguments. So, Frank, you have a whole section in your book that is so important. Those are definitely stones you want to know where those stones are when you're walking on that water. So tell us, what prompted you to write this chapter 21 on communication for words like fine, 5 minutes, nothing? What does nothing really mean, Frank?
Nothing means something is wrong. And you're not going to find out if you're in a personal relationship and it happens to be your wife, girlfriend, whatever, you're not going to find out what it is. You know something's wrong. She knows something's wrong. She may not tell you something's wrong. Best thing is shut up, step back. Don't pursue this because you're going to get a fine, and then you're going to get, we'll talk about it in 5 minutes, and you have one of those types of conversations. The reason I wrote the chapter, Kat, was because communication, the biggest thing about success is it's personal and it's professional, and you cannot separate them. You simply cannot. And I tried for years and years to do that, and I failed miserably, just miserably. If your personal life is not going well, it's going to bleed over into your professional life, and the same the other way. So about communication, it's important in both sectors. Like when I would take over a company, I did turnarounds of failing companies for many years. First thing I would do when I would walk in is talk to everybody, talk to every employee one-on-one. And I would ask them, all right, just you and me in the room. Tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. And the bad and the ugly came out pretty quick. They would say. And then I would ask them, okay, what would you do to make it better? And that most of the time met with the deer in the headlights. Looked like, what? Nobody's ever asked me that. And I'd say, well, I'm asking you that because I want to know. What do you think would make it better? Right? And so then they would start to hopefully open up. And then you'd say, I want you to take control of that and actually try to implement something. All right. So that communication on the professional side was, I'm listening to you. I hear you. I value what you have to say. You're important. Okay. That also works on the personal side, which I was terrible at for many, many years. It's, I hear you. I'm listening. You matter, etc. And so in how that chapter came about, I was talking to a friend that I went to high school with.
Chapter. I love that chapter.
The friend of mine that I went to high school with, and we were doing a communication on Facebook or something. And I sent her a little note, and I said, you know, I am so bad at personal. I was terrible at personal relationships. And I said, I don't know what stuff means. And so she sent me those 15 or 20 things, sent them to me. And she says, Frank, here's the word. Here's the meaning. We call this, she says, we the women call this the dumbass list because you guys have no clue. And so there's a whole series of things of what someone says and what they mean are not necessarily the same thing. So you have to really be engaged. You have to really be listening. And I hear people talk about, well, it's all about communication and talking. And I said, it's not about talking. It's about having a dialogue. And it's about making a connection. That's what the success comes from. The dialogue is, I'm not in a debate with you. And I'm not trying to convince you that I'm right and you're wrong. The dialogue is, I want to understand where you're coming from. I want to understand why you think what you think. I want you to explain more about how you came to this conclusion or this idea, okay? In the business side, that worked extremely well because now all of a sudden, people are thinking, wow, this guy's actually listening, but they're watching. It's a little jaded eye here. Okay, well, is he really going to do this? What's going to happen when we hit the first hiccup? Is he going to go back to the old model? And so they're watching. Are you following through? Okay, and thank God we had good teams and we followed through. On the personal side, it's the same thing. That's the courting period, right? You're dating and you're going out and you're meeting someone. Okay, is there a chemistry here? Do we understand each other? Are we being open and honest with each other? And are we in a position where we're having dialogue? All right. What I was terrible at in my private life was putting all this time and energy in, and I would come home and I'd be exhausted. I wasn't really present. And in my head, I'd walk in and my wife was there and she was working and she would say, here's the issue she was facing. Right. And so in my head, I'm thinking, I'm facing problems all damn day long. I don't want to hear anymore. Now, you don't say that because that would be one of the stupid things, but I wasn't connecting. Right. And so I thought everything was going well, because when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, it's if your professional life was good, your private life is going to be great. That's just the way it was. Okay. So you move up, you're CEO of two companies, you're doing well, you're making a lot of money, and you get to the top of the mountain, and they tell this to everybody, you don't climb the ladder, you scratch and fight and claw your way to the top. And you get to the top, and you're at the summit, and you get the flag, and you stick the flag on the top of the mountain, and you throw up your arms, and you say, I made it. I was so excited. And I turn around, and my wife said, I'm done. And she left. Now I would take custody of my two young daughters. And so that was the aha moment where, okay, was it all worth it? Is the title and the money and the prestige worth the shattered life?
And so our audience knows, Frank, how old were your daughters at this time? This isn't like they were in college or something, right?
No, they were 10 and almost 15. 10 and 15.
Hardest years.
Oh, yeah. That was, and having never been a teenage girl, that was quite a challenge to try to do that by myself. I lived in California. Most of my family was still back in New York at that time. So there wasn't like anybody else to go to. My mother was in New York. My sisters were in New York. And it was, okay, you got to figure this out. Now, hardest thing I ever did, but the best thing I ever did, because I went to counseling and one of the counselors had said, okay, Frank, you've got three big problems here. Number one, you can't fix this. And that's what you better learn if you're going to get into business, is you cannot fix everything. All right. You're going to have to listen. You're going to have to bring in people who have expertise that you don't have. You don't have to hire them. You can bring them in as consultants or advisors, but you can't fix it. Second thing is, you're going to have to learn to listen. And I mean deep listening, where let's get into the underlying reasons and the facts and what is it you're really saying. On the business side, a lot of times people will talk kind of, or they'll talk around something. And the skill you have to learn is, what are you trying to say? All right. What do we mean? How would it work? Questions along those lines to get them to open up so that they feel comfortable. On the back on the private side, personal side, the counselor said, Frank, you're going to have to learn how to listen, and you're going to have to learn how to validate feelings. I have two girls. And I went, oh my God, I have to listen and validate feelings. It's like, oh geez. But you know, I had raised two young girls, so I had to change. I had to leave the high tech sector because I used to travel all the time. And that was another one of the big problems, is keeping work at work and keeping home at home was another chapter in the book, because I was gone so much. When I would come back, I was like Disneyland dad. Now I want to reinsert myself into the family dynamic. And their mom has already put down, okay, this is when we go to bed, and this is when we eat, and this is when we do this. And I would come in and say, I don't care. I'm not here that much. They're not going to be the end of the world if they stay up later or if they do this. Not a good thing to do, right? Just what was not smart personal choice decisions. But as you start.
Disneyland dad. Disneyland dad, that's a good way to put that. But
we looked at trading. And so I had to leave the high tech. I got into insurance. Okay. Well, high tech is very proactive and fun. And insurance is not. And it's reactive and it's not fun. And it was making me crazy. But it was a means to an end. This is what I did. And we did very well. The business did very, very well. But Sarah Westbrook, who is an expert on emotions, she and I did an interview with her. And we were having a chat about this. And she says, you know, Frank, everything's a choice. Everything's a choice. And you could either choose, what you ended up choosing was, I'm going to take, instead of the money, prestige, and title and power, I'm going to choose time. Now I have time. And when you have time, you can create memories. And when you create memories, they're going to stay forever.
Mm.
So that makes your personal life better. Because now when I get with my daughters, we're 32 and 28 now. And when we talk and visit, they talk about things that we did, places we went, not when I traveled overseas to Brazil for a month or I was in London for 3 weeks or whatever the case might be. So the personal life has to be in balance, and you have to take that time and say, when I'm going to go to work at this time, I'm going to work like crazy, I'm going to come home, and then that's it. I'm leaving work at work. And if you're a control freak, like most CEOs are, or most entrepreneurs are, you can't let it go. You're always thinking about what's going on back there. And it's not fair to your family, and it's going to undermine what's going on in your world. And when your personal life falls apart, your business is not far behind. Mm-hmm. And then you bring that into the office, and now you're not focused, and things just continue to spiral out of control.
You know, we're actually seeing that, Frank, now with some of the high social media moguls. You know, their personal life's falling apart, and now their business life is falling apart as well. You know, you said something very interesting a couple of minutes ago. You said you have to figure out that you can't fix this. And I think that that's what a lot of entrepreneurs are faced right now after COVID. They can't fix COVID. You can't fix that. That's not something that you can fix. But do you think that if they accept that and embrace it, they're actually going to be more opportunities for the entrepreneurs now or less?
It's going to be far more. It's terrible, and COVID was terrible, and it still is terrible. As terrible as it is, I learned a long time ago that great achievements come from great adversity. And we've had a whole lot of great adversity here. And so now it's a matter of pivoting. All right. Now, when I say pivot to companies, they said, well, throw everything out. I said, no, pivoting doesn't mean to throw everything out. Pivoting just means you make an adjustment. Okay. I'll give you an example. We were working with high-end restaurants, and they got COVID demolished the high-end restaurants because they don't have drive-throughs and takeouts, right? So they're getting hammered. And we met with a few of them, and we said, look, what if, consider this. What if you did this? Let's think different. You have everybody's name and address because they pay with a credit card. So you have the information. Send them an email, send them a note, and ask them how they're doing. How are you doing? Are you okay? Do you need anything? All right, that's first. Then you could say, while you're at home eating pizza and hot dogs every day, we will make a special meal on these days of the week. So email us, text us, whatever, by this date, and we will prepare this meal for you, and the delivery to your house will be on us. You get to enjoy the meals, that the food that you love, and we look forward to seeing you when this is over, okay? The ones who did it, it worked tremendously because they were able to keep their high-end staff because the main chefs were able to stay because they were still cooking. The PR and the relationship with the customers was phenomenal because you can only eat so many pizza and tacos. And the people were so happy that there was this prepared meal and they didn't have to cook it themselves. And they could have like a family night in type of thing. But more importantly, Kat, is when we had one of the reopenings we had, the people went back there. And they went, and they didn't go alone. They went with friends, and they talked about it. And they said, "This is what these people did for us during this horrible time, and their business is booming. It's just they made it through." For other people, it's going to have to be, if you're going back to an office type environment, you're going to have to change your mindset, because one of the things that the old model, everybody comes to work at 9, stay till 5, you drive for an hour each way, you spend 10 hours, 12 hours of your life. Every day is spent doing something you don't like. Okay, now you've been home for a year, year and a half, and you did well and you were productive. So now the workers are saying, I'm not going back there. How are you going to protect me? How are you going to do social distance? How are you going to do the cleaning part of this? And I don't want to be there. I showed that I could do it from home.
Mm-hmm. And I see that is the major shift that's going on. They learned they could do it from home. We've got to take another quick break, so don't go away. You are listening to Dreaming Healing on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, and that's Dreaming Healing on dreamvision7radio.com. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and we're speaking with Frank Zakari. We will be right back.
What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Cannabis, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evening at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat.
Ever had a strange dream? Nautilus Award winner, Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases, by Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis and Duke University radiologist Dr. Larry Burke, forward by Dr. Bernie Siegel, shares how people like you self-advocated in the face of adversity and won using dreams. Read life-saving dream stories validated by medical reports. Hear how dreams of dead loved ones saved lives. Use interpretations and journaling as roadmaps in your waking world for health, wealth, and love. Dreams That Can Save Your Life, Early Warning Signs of Cancer and Other Diseases. Buy the audio and book at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com in English and Italian worldwide and through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other retailers.
Have you met your physician within yet? The Nautilus and multi-award-winning book, Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, is a memoir that takes you down the rabbit hole of healing dreams and interpretations, mixed with conventional medicine and treatments. Listen to the hookah-puffing caterpillar ask, "Who are you?" Dr. Bernie Siegel says Kathleen's story is powerful, honest, and eye-opening. Surviving Cancerland, Intuitive Aspects of Healing, by three-time breast cancer survivor Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Buy the book and audio at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers. Darkest hours to brightest moments, transformation from despair to happiness, and chaos to clarity. Real people, real pain, real healing. Life-threatening illness, death, abusive relationships, divorce, and overcoming addiction are challenges these men and women faced head-on. See how they emerged stronger and happier. Buy the new book, Chaos to Clarity, Sacred Stories of Transformational Change, by Reverend Patricia Caginello and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available on sacredstoriespublishing.com and worldwide through Amazon and other retailers.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back to the last segment of our show. This show has gone so fast tonight. I'm your host, Kat Cannabis, and we're talking to Frank Zakari about his latest book, Business Secrets to Walking on Water. Frank, what is next on your success list? Are you going to be writing some more books, doing talks? What are you planning?
Well, it's going to be a combination of things. We've signed on for a 3-book series. And the first book, this is the first book, And it, to my amazement and astonishment, made the bestseller on the very first day and stayed in the number one position for 3 days. It was, you know, for someone who's new at this, it's intoxicating. We have a second book coming out, and I think we're still working on the title, but it's basically Business and Personal Secrets for Avoiding Landmines, something along those lines. And this book focused more on the business side and issues, and this one does a little bit more on the personal side, but touches on the business side. And then there's a third book that's coming out. We're in the early stages of doing that. We're hoping to parlay this into speaking engagements, and we have a few that are in the mix, in the works, so to speak. And that's coming together very nicely. On the professional side, my partner Gabby Ori and Jay Abraham, who we formed a group called the Tag Team, which we talk about in the book, we are going to take over an organization that does brain entrainment, which basically is the sound waves and the vibrations and the music that can help rewire the neural pathways in your brain. This is for people, and this is, I should have learned this years ago because I kept making the same stupid mistakes over and over and over again. Well, part of it is you made stupid mistakes, and part of it is the wiring in your brain. The pathways are built based on your experiences in your life and what have you. And this can help people to move past that, to have better sleep, to have better rest, to get overstressed and various anxieties and what have you. And there's so much of this now coming out of COVID, is that people don't know what's going to be next. Is it really over? Is there going to be this next wave? Are we going to be back in this nonsense for another year? Who knows what's going to happen? And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to create a series of wellness centers, focusing on energy healing, energy psychology, dealing with what Dr. Bonnie McLean calls integrative medicine, which it is. There'll be MD doctors involved and PhDs, but people want to take control. One of the things we learned in COVID is I can control my life. I have better control of my life. I have better control of my work. I want to control my health, and our health system is a mess. And I want to be in a position where I can call some of the shots. So we're going to put those two types of things in place here. And we've signed the agreements, and now we're putting the skeleton together, putting the meat on the skeleton, so to speak. So it's exciting. It's very, very exciting time. And all this comes from, like we said before, it's coming out of COVID, because it was great adversity, and it opens up all this great opportunity. But you have to be able to see the opportunity, number one. And number two, no, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychiatrist. I can't do this, but I know people who can. Mm-hmm. And they want to be part of it, and they see that, hey, this makes a lot of sense and there's a lot of value here. So we'll put this thing together, and hopefully we'll roll these out across the United States. We're going to start in Sacramento because that's where the core team is. And then we'll start moving from there. But it's such an exciting time. And I think we're going to see more and more of this type of movement, because Prudential Financials paid for a study recently on the status of the American worker, right? Mm-hmm. And what they found in this study was 26% of American workers intend to change jobs once this thing settles. 26%. Now, I sit down with CEOs and corporate executives and said, can you handle a 26% turnover? Can you do that? And guess what? 26% are going to leave. Think of your best people, because they know that they can do something else. And if they don't feel valued and they don't feel that their contribution is having an impact, they're going to go. They're going to leave. So corporate executives, start thinking here. You're going to have to take a more humanistic approach in your management style. It's going to have to be collaborative. You're going to have working with groups and know how to work with groups. You're going to have to be able to have that listening and that communication that we talked about earlier. And you're going to have people, you can't know everything anymore. The old model was content management, right? I know more than you, therefore I'm smarter and I get paid more. But the data is just changing so fast. Every 3 years, we have a whole new set of data. You can't possibly be the smartest person in the room anymore. So you better have the ability to be able to pick and choose who you want to be around you. And one of the things that we've been promoting to companies for a while is stop looking for technical skills. When you put a job request for a position, don't say you need an Oracle or Salesforce. Look for characteristics. Do you have integrity? Are they persistent? Do they have grit? Are they willing to stick to it? Do they collaborate? Are they willing to do that? Because those things are intrinsic to the person. You either have them or you don't. You can teach them the job. And I still see job application after job application listing 27 different specific things. And I'm thinking, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I mean, you can teach somebody something and that's a behavior, but you're looking for personality traits that are not taught. You're actually born. Those are innate leadership skills. So Frank, where can we find your book, Business Secrets for Walking on Water? Where is it?
Well, at the moment, it's on Amazon. It's in Kindle format, and it's in the soft copy or the copy you just held up. Mm-hmm. I believe publishers who are going to have it on Ingram soon. So it'll be available on Ingram, but it's not there yet. It's coming. And it's a worldwide market, so anybody who can get access to Amazon can get it there. And it's the other thing we have in this book, Kat, that I want to touch on, mm-hmm. is we put together a workbook. And in the workbook, we go through, each chapter has discussion points, and there's a workbook at the end. So organizations, leaders, et cetera, you can contract with me. I'll come out and facilitate it with you, or you can do it yourself. But let's delve into the underlying issues here. And each chapter has a whole series of these underlying questions. And they're not yes-no questions. They're, have you done this? What have you done? It's not, have you done this? What have you done? How did it work? Where did you stumble? These types of questions. And so I don't know how many chapters in the book, 22, I think. And so there's 22 individual little workshops that can be done either one a day or however it fits within a certain organization's framework. So it's exciting. We're getting a lot of very positive feedback. We're starting to get the reviews on Amazon finally, because the book just came out and people have read it now. So it's an exciting time. I'm excited.
It's a very, very exciting time. So I understand, Frank, you also have a free gift for our audience today on your website.
Yes. By going to the website, you can download.
Give us the website again.
Website is www.frankzakari.com, not the most original name, but that's what it is. And you can download a chapter. I think it's the first chapter in the book. And you can download that. And if you haven't bought it yet, and see where we're going with this whole idea of getting past the fear that's preventing you from living the life that you want. Are you be able to identify what you don't know, what you don't know, and how to go about putting the pieces and getting the right people around you? And I think those are the first two chapters that people can download for free.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, you know, Frank, I can't believe it, but we got to go. We are down to our last minute. Wow. I just want to thank Rachel, our producer. She does an awesome job. And Deborah Bouvet is working in the background along with Teresa Velarde. And I thank everybody for all of their work. Thank you, Frank, for being on the show with us tonight. And I hope everybody will tune in the first and third Tuesday of every month. Until then, remember, everybody dreams, but some dreams save lives. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening, and a big thanks to our producer. Tune in next time to Dreaming Healing for more cutting-edge research, live dream interpretations, and stories with radio host and award-winning author, Kat O'Keefe Canavas. Listen every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time with call-in live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Remember, everyone dreams, but some Some dreams save lives. Live your dreams. Find more about Kat at KathleenO'KeefeCannabis.com. That's Kathleen with a K. O-K-E-E-F-E-K-A-N-A-V-O-S. Or the Queen of Dreams on Google search.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.